The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
We have got a really interesting show because we're going in a couple of different places. So first of all, I saw something on TV not too long ago, and I thought, wow, I think I might pick this up because I could use this. And I am not being paid. This is not an infomercial, but I'm not being paid for this product. But I kind of wanted to find a little bit more about it. But it was something called the Scotty Vest. And if you travel a lot, if you ski a lot, if you go through airport security a lot, and you, especially if you're a guy, you always have these things in your pockets. Nowadays, I've got sunglasses, I've got reading glasses, I've got my phone, I have a cord for my phone to charge my phone, I've got my passport, I've got my my wallet, I've got a bottle of water, I might have pens, and it'd be nice if I had a lot of jackets for this. If I'm skiing, you know, I got to carry my reading glasses now so I could read the skiing map. So I saw this this product called the Scotty Vest, which looks like just a regular vest or jacket or fleece, but it has all these hidden pockets in it. And that's one of my biggest complaints about ski wear is that they don't have enough pockets in there because you've got to carry an extra pair of sunglasses or an extra hat. Or my kids are always saying, can you carry this, Dad? Can you carry that, Dad? And I always need pockets. So I thought, okay, this is a pretty good idea. So I thought I'd find out a little bit more about the company. So Scott Jordan, who's the CEO and founder of Scotty Vest, is going to join us. And as I said before, just, you know, I thought this might be a perfect time for a Christmas gift. And I'll even tell you, I bought my dad one of these. I hope he's not listening right now because he's going to spoil the surprise. But I bought my dad one of these jackets because he travels all the time. This is perfect for him. I'm not getting paid by Scotty Vest. I didn't even get a free product. I just thought it'd be fun to have Scott on. He's going to join us the second half of the podcast today. Now, the first half, okay, I'm going to just put all my cards on the table. I'm not a believer in ghosts, and I've written a book, a travel book, about San Antonio called San Antonio Uncovered. I did include a ghost section in there, a section about ghost stories. That's the most popular section of the book. Okay, I don't believe in ghosts, like I said, but I know that a lot of people do, and especially when you travel somewhere, if there's someplace that is haunted, a lot of people want to jump on board. So I found an author with two very popular books. One is called Haunted Route 66, and one is called Haunted Plantations of the South. Richard Southall is the author of those books and is our guest on the podcast today. And so, Richard, I asked you here, first of all, there is a tourist aspect to the book Haunted Route 66, is there not?
Absolutely. That's actually one of the reasons that I wrote Haunted Route 66 as well as Haunted Plantations. Some of the most interesting places in our country, they have a great and wonderful history. And if a person does a little bit of research into some of the legends and folklore associated with it, oftentimes there happens to be a paranormal element.
Okay. And I will tell you that just to be, on the level here that I'm a little bit of a skeptic of this, but I know that people are very interested in it, and when there's a tourist aspect to it too, if I can combine those two, I'm more than welcome. I'm more than happy to do that for those who would be interested in it. So let's go back before we get to Haunted Plantations, your latest book. Let's talk a little bit about Haunted Route 66, and also you've written another book called How to Be a Ghost Hunter. So, and you've been featured on national television shows, and in this field, you are rather well noted. So I'm game to have a little fun with this is what I'm saying. So on Haunted Route 66, what are some of the more prominent places that that people might want to stop by and have been noted in your book?
Oh, as a matter of fact, one of my favorites is actually one of the smaller books, one of the smaller stories. It's actually out of Needles, California. Are you familiar with Sam Kennison? Of course you are.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, well, the story behind that was he was driving and he was involved in an accident in which he died. Right outside of Needles. Now, it turns out in certain places very close to where the accident had taken place, many times you can actually see an apparition of the vehicle, and you can actually hear the brakes squealing and so on and so forth. So people have been able to record an EVP, or what's called an electronic voice phenomenon. Now, that is one of the stories. In regards to Route 66, there's over 125 stories from all eight states that Route 66 passes through.
Okay. Can you give us people love this stuff. They eat it up every time I have anything like this on the show. So now Route 66, I think the nearest it goes through here is Oklahoma, if I'm not correct. We're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What would be something in Oklahoma that someone could make a day trip to?
I am looking at a place called the Tulsa Garden Center. Now, it is a little bit off of Route 66, but as you said, it can be a day trip.
Okay.
One of the stories, it was actually built as a private residence in 1919, and it was finished in 1921. Turns out that in 1923, it turns out that the brothers who owned it, their name was Hull, they started to make renovations. And usually whenever there's an alleged haunting, that is usually whenever it takes place, whenever there's a great number of renovations done. Turns out that in this particular case, one of the brothers Hull's relatives has been actually seen. Her name was Mary Hull. Now, she is associated with poltergeist activity. There, apparently, she had passed on the second floor, and since she had died, there's an apparition of a woman that fits her description, as well as typical poltergeist activity. And also, the interesting thing about that is in regards to hauntings, sometimes it's not just visual. In many cases, you can actually smell something that's associated with the haunting.
What does that smell? Yeah, what does that smell?
Flowers.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Yes. In this particular case, she absolutely loved fresh-cut flowers. And again, this is usually isolated to the second floor. There's an apparition. There's poltergeist activity, the sound of heavy footsteps, as well as the smell of fresh-cut flowers. It's been documented time and time again, and not just in Oklahoma, but in many of the states that I wrote about in Route 66, as well as the haunted plantations. I decided to write the books pretty much as a tour guide.
Uh-huh.
So if people do want to have a day trip, they can do so.
Now, the new book's called Haunted Plantations of the South. So this takes it to another direction, and I say literally direction, not figuratively. Now we're going, instead of to the west on Route 66, now we're going back to the south, some of these Civil War and antebellum plantations. And what have you found in your paranormal research about hauntings in the south?
Well, usually it's divided into three categories. First, obviously, it's going to be the plantation owners. There's such a strong emotional connection with the plantation houses that they've built. Oftentimes, the apparition allegedly tends to stay after a person has passed on. Another would be Civil War soldiers, both Union and Confederate. In many cases, some of the most bloody battles of the Civil War took place literally on the front lawn of some of the plantations. Now, shortly before a battle, many times the officers would actually go in and commandeer the actual plantation mansion as their field headquarters. Or, in some cases, after a large battle, it would be turned into a makeshift hospital where many of the soldiers passed on. So we've got the plantation owners, we've got the soldiers, plus, we've also got the slaves. And in each case, there's a strong emotional connection.
Now, if I were to buy the book, if someone was to pick up the book, are there actual places that you can go visit? I mean, are these tours that are open to the public, or are these behind locked gates? How close can the general public get after they read your book to some of these haunted places in the South?
Okay, what I originally did, I came up with a list of over 200 plantations. I narrowed it down to a little over 65, and it's usually divided into some categories. First of all, we're going to have public parks people can visit during normal business hours. They're state-run parks. Another would be private residences, and what I'd recommend in that particular case is not necessarily to approach them, but you can drive by them out of respect for them, for the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we've got bed and breakfasts that have actually been opened in the actual plantation buildings and some of the adjacent cabins and so on and so forth. So in some cases, you can actually stay in the plantation house that I wrote about.
Now, are some of these places, let's concentrate a little bit on places that you can stay, the bed and breakfast that you wrote about in Haunted Plantations of the South. Do the proprietors of these establishments, do they actively seek out a customer base that's interested in the paranormal, or do they try to keep it quiet because they don't want to scare off customers?
Well, originally sometimes it was the latter, but with the resurgence of the paranormal interest, some of the plantation bed and breakfast actually encourage it, and they do embrace the paranormal.
Interesting. Very interesting. Richard Southall, the book is called Haunted Plantations of the South, and of course his previous book, Haunted Route 66. And thank you for indulging our listeners. I'm not, like I said, I'm a bit of a skeptic, but I know people that are very interested in this, and there's definitely a travel aspect to it. And if you are interested in it and you want to do something on your travels, this would be a perfect book to pick up. Both those books would be perfect to pick up, along with your third book, How to Be a Ghost Hunter. It sounds like a lot of fun if you're so inclined to discuss and investigate the paranormal. Richard, you've been a good sport this morning to join us on the show with a skeptic, and I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, take from that what you may, and I firmly believe this will probably end up being the most popular podcast that I've produced so far. As I said earlier at the very beginning of this podcast, not really sure where I first came across the Scotty Vest, but Scott Jordan, he's the CEO of a company called Scotty Vest, and I think I saw an ad for it on TV. Is that where I saw that?
Yeah, we recently started advertising on TV. And it's been highly successful, and as a result, our business has grown exponentially this year. So, but we've been around for almost 17 years to this day. I was reflecting back on my calendar back in Chicago when I started the company. And 17 years ago, around now, I started meeting with designers and thinking there's got to be a better way to carry gadgets and devices than, backpacks and fanny packs and whatnot. And that's when I came up with the idea. And we've been around for quite a while and have, over 60 different items in our line. But getting people to find out about us has been, for any business, a bit of a struggle. After PR, you can get a lot of interest from PR initially, and then you got to start advertising, spending the money, and it's been helping us.
Well, and I will just tell people right now, this is not an advertisement. This is just as a guy who travels a lot and has got stuff in his pockets all the time. I saw this and I go, okay, I want to find a little bit more about this. And especially in today's world, everybody, if you're a guy, and you got your phone with you 24/7. And you got your keys, your wallet, and your phone. Those three things, I call them my big three. And my phone, it never fits well in any pocket. If I could put it in my back pocket, but then as soon as I sit down, that's a problem. You put it in your front pocket, it's a giant lump. So there's never really a good place to put your phone, and you have your phone with you all the time now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the driving force behind designing it, just those three items. And then, of course, I'm never without extra batteries and cords and headsets.
Cords.
I can't get through a full day without recharging my phone if I'm out on the road. And it's not just for traveling, although that's when it makes a ton of sense, obviously. It sort of, acts as a bonus carry-on. You can fit depending on which product you're looking at, you can fit a tablet or an iPad, a computer, even small laptops, among many other things, fit readily. We just took a completely different approach to clothing. We looked at, as an example, a travel vest or a fishing vest and said, okay, they found a way to put a multitude of pockets on the outside, enabling you to carry all your stuff, and said, okay, can we take that same premise but hide the pockets? And design the pockets not for lenses and random things, but for the things that you would you'd like to carry when you travel, and primarily electronic devices. But my wife doesn't own a cell phone. She has poop bags and leashes and for the dogs and medication and whatnot. So it goes well beyond just the gadgets that you have in your life.
Yeah, and you know, and when you do travel too, it's interesting too, because when you do travel, you've got a passport you want to look for, you know, look, you know, keep an eye on, sunglasses, you might have a camera, you might travel with your iPad, bottle of water. And so if you got a jacket or a vest that literally can hold all that stuff and look like you're not have anything on you, you know, that's a great bonus, and I know a lot of people would be interested in that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So just real quickly here, the company's called Scotty Vest. You can find the whole line at scottyvest.com. And I love the pictures of the guys. You would never know. It's just all sorts of different jackets and vests, basically. And I love the pictures when you have them, like, you've got pictures on your website where you can see kind of, you know, what's inside their jacket. Obviously, it's behind a layer of material. But it's amazing what one person can carry. I swear, you could go on vacation, possibly, and only bring a jacket.
Well, we've had people do that. We've done, if you Google No Baggage Challenge.
Uh-huh.
You know, people go for, you know, in some cases, several weeks with just what they put in their pockets. And we've done it for charity. Obviously, we don't encourage people to live life that way. That wasn't the way the products were designed. But, I mean, clearly, you can do that. And it just opens up so many new opportunities. You know, just consider even a day at the amusement park,
Your
kids and your family, or, you know, when I leave a hotel room in the morning, I have everything on my person, so I don't have to come back until, you know, late at night. And I, you know, even so much as I could put a different shirt, you know, in there for evening, or, you know, a lot of our sleeves are removable, many of our products. And it's not just for men, it's for men and women. It's not just jackets and vests, although that's the name of the company, Scotty Vest. We have pants, we have hats, we even have boxer shorts, and we have a whole line of hoodies with tons of hidden pockets and as well.
Okay, in the underwear, I did see that on your website. I had to ask you that. Is there a pocket in the underwear?
Yeah, there are two pockets in the underwear, and this is the reason why people always laugh when they hear about it until I tell them this. When I wake up first thing in the morning, I'm walking around, having my coffee, I grab my iPhone, you know, and I looking for a place to put my iPhone, and I started. I was like, okay, I'll put it in the waistband, and I put my stomach out as far as I could to get a little more friction so it won't fall out. Sure enough, it falls down, screen cracks. I said, you know, what would it take to just put a little piece of fabric there for my phone when I'm walking around? And then it occurred to me that it's an awfully safe place to put your passport, you know, when you're traveling too. And although we do have pickpocket guarantees for many of our products, that if you are pickpocketed when wearing our stuff, we'll reimburse you up to $1,000, subject to, you know, some fine print of, you know, if you're held up at gunpoint, you hand your wallet over to someone. That's not pickpocketing, you know.
Not to laugh at the situation, but I can understand you got to have a little bit of a limit there.
Yeah. If someone reaches into your pockets, you know, and you don't feel it, and they take something, and you file a police report, you're wearing a Scotty vest, then, you know, I will take care of you. But yeah, it's a really amazing invention, if I do say so myself. And the most important thing is it all looks great. You know, my biggest problem in marketing this, and one of the reasons why TV has been so effective for us for advertising, you have to see it. Because when I start describing it, your mind goes, how can any piece of clothing look this great? Or look good, or stylish, or look acceptable, if it's got all these pockets and features, and, you know, it's just, your mind just can't wrap yourself around that. So when you see the TV commercial, when you look at the website, when you see people wearing it, you can see that it looks fantastic, and that's the most important thing to us. It's got to look great. At the end of the day, it's clothing first and foremost, and then it has the added level of functionality to it as well.
Yeah, you know what? And there's different styles, like the hoodie. I love the hoodie. It looks like it's just like a regular hoodie that you would get like at the Gap or something. And you also have cargo pants, but they're not like cargo pants with giant pockets like you're a kangaroo or something. They're cargo pants with all these hidden pockets. And it really, if I think this is a great thing if you travel to check it out. Like, once again, I saw this commercial. I reached out to you guys. I said, hey, I'd love to have you on the show to talk about this. This isn't like a paid spot by any means. This was just me interested in something, and I thought there'd be other people who might also find interest in this. And it's interesting, too, about the passport, because unlike any other country, Americans are more protective of their passport than any other place I've seen. I've seen like people travel there from like you know, France or Germany or something. They just throw their passport around, leave it around. Americans know where their passport is when they travel at all times, and they never let it out of their sight. And I think that's because if you get stranded in Germany and you're from France, it's not that hard to get home. If you get stranded in Germany and you're from America, it's very hard to get back to America without your passport.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, if I do, don't mind me saying so, this is a perfect holiday gift for anyone looking for someone who has everything they want and looking for a place to carry it and how to carry all those gadgets. And a lot of guys I know don't like people buying, you know, don't think clothing is much of a gift. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is sort of a gadget, if you will. And you can start discovering all these unique features throughout the products, including, you know, hidden key ring holders, extendable key ring holders, clear touch fabric that enables you to see and control your devices right through the fabric, water bottle holders, RFID blocking material in some of our products to, you know, protect your passport and as well as credit cards and personal information. So we're super excited about the holiday season. Our business is more than doubled this year, and we're also available on Amazon, which is new to us as well, and that's been doing amazing. So it's awesome.
and real quickly too, I like a couple of other things too. If you're a skier, there's some fleeces, some pullovers that have a lot of pockets, and I'm always looking for pockets when I ski, especially like to hold the map or hold my reading glasses. There's all different styles of jackets, and I've also noticed on your website, shout out to doctors out there, there's lab coats also.
Yeah, no, and I live in Sun Valley, Idaho, and you know, we have some products that were designed on the ski mountain. And one of the things you'll appreciate when you're skiing or when you're just getting in and out of a car, especially a sports car, when you sit down, all the things tend to fall out of your pocket.
Yes, my phone has fallen out many times out of my pocket.
Wait, that will never happen again. We design our pockets with an ergonomic approach to the engineering of everything to ensure that when you do normal activities, you can pretty well be assured that your phone's not going to fall out, whether you're getting on a ski lift or, you know, or getting in and out of a car. So it's a different approach to clothing.
Well, let me shout out to the website here. It's Scott E, the letter E, scottevest.com. You can check it all out there. Also, if you can't remember it and you're like, what was the website? Go to our website, travelwithhawkeye.net. I'll link it to our blog for this week's podcast. And Scott Jordan, thank you very much and for your time this morning and continued success with Scotty Vest and the whole variety of products that you offer for travelers, for skiers, for outdoorsmen, for just people who want an extra pocket on every day, whatever they need it for. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so very much. Happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Special thanks to my guest on the podcast, Richard Southall, author of the book Haunted Route 66 and Haunted Plantations of the South. If you go to our blog, you can find links to buy both those books off Amazon if you are so interested. Also, you'll find a link to Scotty Vest and their fine array of products and the Christmas gift that I bought my dad, the packet jacket with 8 pockets. Very cool. All right, Scott Jordan, thank you very much also for being part of the podcast. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. A little programming, though. Next couple weeks, we will have some of the best of 2017, some of our more favorite moments as we get ready for the 2018 season 2 of Travel with Hawkeye. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. This has been Travel with Hawkeye. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits.